I was working at, to Memphis, I believe, when Rock Island went out, when they went out on strike. Mm-hmm. And
because you were the last train.
Go and get that check. We're going to show that to Michael. When I went out on strike, well, we went back, and they owed me $3,300 in back pay.
Wow.
And
what year was this?
About 1979, I guess. But they never did pay it. They went bankrupt, and then that Kansas City terminal took over. And then after they finally shut down, well, I worked for the Cotton Belt, and we went to Butterfield, which is a junction to Malvern. Mm-hmm. And that's where I worked.
Was this on the Rock Island track?
Yeah, it was on the Rock Island track, uh-huh. Yeah. And
everybody wanted us, they said, but they didn't keep us fair.
That was for a little time claim that that they sent me, and I never cashed it because they never paid me my back pay. And I bet they spent $50 worth of postage wanting me to calling and sending stuff to me and want me to cash your check. And I wouldn't cash it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was maybe for some kind of a time claim, somebody just a few miles or something like that, maybe.
84 when they issued the check.
Was it 84?
August 84.
Yeah, well, that was. Well, they see they went out in 80, and that's when they were selling off everything. So I kept it for a long time, and we decided we'd just frame it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what was the decline like? I mean, when did you really start to see?
Well, the reason for this, they had petitioned the Interstate Commerce Commission, and the Union Pacific was wanting to buy the Rock Island.
Yeah, I've got a brochure that I've bought of.
And the Union Pacific spent so many years. Well, when they come out that they were going to merge with the Rock Island let their equipment go down.
What year was this, like mid-60s or something?
Yeah. And the first thing they let go down was the maintenance of the track. And we have derailments. Like I was telling you, I worked a job out of here to Stuttgart and back. And on that old track from Mesa to Stuttgart, it was 10 miles an hour, and we derailed. Had those big old grain cars, and that track would be this way, and they'd sway back and forth and just completely sway plumb. You know, I was telling you about the center pin that they had like that. Mm-hmm. Well, they'd just go all the way across, break that center pin, and turn over. And we'd get on the radio, and they'd call us a taxi cab, come get us. They'd go down the next day and send somebody down there to re-rail the cars. They had a switch engine in Stuttgart, and he'd take them back to Stuttgart and line them up for us to bring back the next day. But we've done that lots of times. Of course, a lot of places, the engineer would know that it wasn't safe for 10 miles an hour. But we didn't want them to make 5 miles an hour, because if they did, we'd be never getting back. It was 139 miles from Little Rock, from Biddle to Stuttgart and back. And if we could make it in 6 hours, we was that much ahead. 100 miles was an 8 hour, considering an 8 hour a day. And we were making a day and a third. Of course, the bad part about it was the miles counted against your overtime. We didn't go on overtime until right at about 10 hours, 10 hours and 30 or 40 minutes. By that time, you couldn't make an hour and a half overtime because 12 hours would get you. But when I went to work, it was 16 hours. And then they knocked it down to 14 hours, and then finally down to 12 hours. But I can remember back when we worked 16 hours, 12-hour day, that was a light day. You know.
Wow. So track was first thing that went down.
Yeah. See, they run that rock at 89 miles an hour, Little Rock to Memphis. That's faster than Missouri Pacific run theirs back then. Mm-hmm. The irony of the whole thing is when I went to work for the Rock Island, the Missouri Pacific was in receivership.
They were for years.
For years. And the government bailed them out and rebuilt their rails and all that stuff. But, yeah, when I went to work, boy, we had, I mean, the track was good. We'd run. But it got down so bad. They put slow orders out on that main line, maybe 10 miles an hour for 5 or 6 miles at a time, you know. It got bad. But I really enjoyed, didn't realize what good a job I had until I had to go to work on the Missouri Pacific. We had a lot better job on the Rock Island. Hmm. Well, it was smaller. Everybody knew everybody. And it was just a different, the men on there they did not operate like we did. They didn't have experience like we did because they had block signals and they didn't have to do things we did. And I know one night at Malvern, I was working on the Union Pacific and they came in and they broke a knuckle.
What's that?
The coupler. Uh-huh. They called it a knuckle. Uh-huh. You know, the drawbar come out and then the knuckle fit on the drawbar. And it broke the knuckle off. And they were sitting there and we went down there and couldn't find out, trying to help them. The fella didn't know how to put a knuckle in. So I showed him how to put a knuckle in. We hadn't been there, I guess he'd had to call a train master or a car man or somebody to come in and put a knuckle in. Mm-hmm. The way you'd have to do that, you'd pull they'd have a pin that you pulled up, and then you would pull the lifter, and the knuckle would fall out. Then you'd have to put the knuckle back in, hold the lifter up, and close the knuckle, and then put the pin back in. Hmm. It was pretty hard for a one man job, but
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But he didn't know how to do it. He'd never done it. Yeah. I think he'd been working there for about 10 years.
So you worked Cottonbelt first after Rock Island?
Yeah, I worked down to Stuttgart.
Did they hire big groups of you from the Rock Island?
No, I kind of was in limbo when the Missouri Pacific bought it. I was working between Little Rock or Biddle and Butterfield and back. And the Missouri Pacific bought Malvern and Biddle. And there I was in no man's land. The Missouri Pacific wasn't going to let me work because I wasn't working on that part they had bought. And the Cotton Belt wasn't going to let me work because I didn't work at Biddle. And I had a good friend that used to work brakeman. He was older than I am, but he got to be a big shot in the union, United Transportation Union. And I called him and asked him if he couldn't give me some help. And I guess it was the next day, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. They called and told me I could work on the Cotton Belt. I could either go to Stuttgart or Memphis. And I went to Stuttgart and worked there. It was a road switcher, they called it. We just worked around Stuttgart. But we worked the Cotton Belt part and our part too. And I wasn't allowed to go on the Missouri Pacific until they advertised the jobs. And how long was I down there? About 4 months? When they advertised the jobs on the Missouri Pacific, well, they advertised for 2 Malvern jobs, and I bid on one of those, and I got it. That got me off of the Cotton Belt, because I figured the best I could do on the Cotton Belt was either work at Memphis or go to Pine Bluff, and I could work out of Little Rock on the Missouri Pacific. Mm-hmm. So I came down here. Well, after they closed the bids and told whoever got it, they pulled one of the jobs off at Malvern. And that put me on they had a little extra board where we went to Hazen and back.
On the Rock Island?
Yeah, on the Rock Island. We'd leave out of their hump yard over here and go around to tie plant and get on the Rock Island. And they run it 2 days a week. And I think there was about 4 or 5 on the extra board. And I would work maybe 1 day, 1 week. And then if they didn't run it but 1 day, I might not work but maybe 3 days every 2 weeks, something like that. And they were to guarantee us, and the agreement when they bought all that, and it all settled, they had made an agreement like a March 4th agreement. And they had to pay us a guarantee of, what was it, 75% of our salary on the Rock Island?
I think so, or 70.
Well, I worked there one day, working one day a week, and sometimes no days a week, for about 2 months, and I never got my guarantee. Mm. So I went down to the timekeeper on Observe Pacific. They had their offices here, and he wouldn't give me any help at all. Well, I figured the more I'd go down there, the more I'd pester him, maybe I'd get something done. Well, that didn't work. So the fellow that was director of the United Transportation Union here, he's more of a lobbyist at the Capitol, but anyway, he was a state director. And I went and talked to him, and he said, they're going to have a retirement. They're going to have a dinner for the retirees. And he said, there's going to be a vice president for the UTU there. And he said, the general chairman for the Missouri Pacific will be there. Well, there was, how many of us went? 3 or 4. They had their little say in their meeting, and the dinner was down there at the Ramada Inn. Well, I cornered this vice president. I said, we got to get him before he gets out of here. I talked to him, and I asked him, I said, we're supposed to get this guarantee. We haven't gotten it. So he said, well, what about your general chairman? Well, they did away with Rock Island general chairman when they went out of business. I said, well, we don't have one. He said, what do you mean? I said, no, we don't have any. We don't have any representation at all over here. We're considered just Rock Island. So anyway, he said, the local chairman, like LT was a local chairman on Rock Island, local chairman on Observe Pacific, he got up there and he was getting in on, he wanted to find out what we were talking about. And he said, well, this vice president said, well, what about your local chairman? I said, we don't have any representation at all. Oh, boy, that old boy's face turned as white as a sheet. He said, well, where is the general chairman? Well, he was drunk. They got him out of there. That local chairman got him out of there. He said, well, where is he at? Well, I think he's already gone to his room, gone to bed. Well, he was drunk by then. I mean, he's pretty sloppy. So I told him, I said, well, you know, I said, well, I paid my dues just like everybody else, and we're not getting any representation. And this March 4th agreement says we'll get our guarantee. He said, well, I'll tell you, I'm going back to Cleveland. That's where the main office is. He said, I'm going back to Cleveland. And he said, if you don't hear from me, you're going to get your money. He said, if there's any problems, I'll call you the next day. Well, it was about 3 days, and they called us and told us that we had a check. But I'll tell you what they did. They took out for the unemployment. So we were drawing the days that we were working one day a week, we could draw 4 days of unemployment. Mm-hmm. They took the unemployment out, and then they taxed that thing. I don't know how. But anyway, I was supposed to have gotten, I think back in, what was it, $1,600 or $1,800 a month. And I got a check for about 3 months, and it was less than $500. Hey. And they were, and here's the funny part about it. I went to do my income tax. They didn't give me a W-2 where they held the tax out, and I'd repaid my unemployment. Well, the Railroad Retirement had sent me a W-2. We had to pay on it income tax on our unemployment. So I filled it out, and I went down to Internal Revenue, and I said, I don't have any proof. He said, well, just show it repaid. Well, that's what I did, and they came back on me. So I went down to Missouri Pacific, and I said, I need a W-2 here that this was repaid. Well, we're sorry. We can't do it. But I kept all my check stubs. And I took my check stubs down to the Internal Revenue, and I said, showed them to them. And I said, you make me a copy. You make a copy. I want to keep these. Mm-hmm. First, they said, well, we want those. I said, let's make a copy.
Yeah.
And I heard one more time, and then after that I went back down there and they said just forget it. But what happened, I don't think the Missouri Pacific ever repaid that stuff. That's what I think. Now, that's my opinion. But
so Rock Island employees really were the bastard stepchildren.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
At Malvern, some little odd job that nobody wanted to do would come up and they'd say, well, we'll let that Rock Island bunch do that. See, we were never, we were always the Rock Island bunch over there. And anything that came up that was nobody else wanted, well, it was put off on us. We'll just let that Rock Island bunch do it. And of course, when I went down there, I was a brakeman. And the conductor, he was one of these gung-ho, oh, we'll do it. And finally, I got my belly full of it, and I went up to him, and I said, don't render my services anymore. I said, if you want to do it, you do it. But it's pretty easy for you to say, we'll do it, and you sit back and watch us do the work. And he looked at me real funny. I said, I mean it. But he was one of these brown nosers. Anytime an official would show up, boy, he was ready to go and we'll do this and we'll do that and oh, we'd be glad to do it and all that. I told him, I said, I'm not glad to do it.
Right.
But,
there's always one.
I like the Rock Island. I did. We had a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. But it was a good job.